chapter to be read for this, the first Sunday after the Epiphany, is taken from the Epistle of St. Paul to the Romans. Brethren, I exhort you by the mercy of God to present your bodies as a sacrifice, living, holy, pleasing to God, your spiritual service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed to the newness of your mind, that you may discern what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. By the grace that has been given to me, I say to each one among you, let no one rate himself more than he ought, but let him rate himself according to moderation, and according as God has apportioned to each one the measure of faith. For just as in one body we have many members, yet all the members have not the same function, so we, the many, are one body in Christ, but severally members one of another in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the Holy Gospel is taken from St. Luke. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. When Jesus was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. And after they had fulfilled the days when they were returning, the boy Jesus remained in Jerusalem, and his parents did not know it. But thinking that he was in the caravan, they had come a day's journey before it occurred to them to look for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And not finding him, they returned to Jerusalem in search of him. And it came to pass, after 3 days, that they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who were listening to him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, Son, why hast thou done this to us? Behold, in sorrow thy father and I have been seeking thee. And he said to them, How is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? And they did not understand the word that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. And his mother kept all his mother kept all these things carefully in her heart. And Jesus advanced in wisdom and age and grace before God and men. Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, this morning, of course, is a very wonderful day, and it is so lovely that so many of us and so many of our children are being confirmed today. This is a very special occasion, not only for us, but especially for those who are to be confirmed. Therefore, I ask that our prayers this morning go for them. That Almighty God will bless them. That Almighty God will give to them the full impact of this holy sacrament which they are about to receive. And that they will clearly come to understand by the grace of God that they are soldiers. And today the use of that word can be misconstrued and can be misused. That they must fight, yes, but not in the way that we sometimes, or oftentimes, think that this word is to be, that this way of life is to be applied. Their fight is not something that goes out and has vicious connotations or attack on anybody, but rather that their lives, their fight rather, is going to be lodged in lives that are good and holy and pure and persevering, and lives that are an example to those who look upon them. This is where the fight is. So therefore, pray for them in every possible and good way that God will give them the grace to be able to have this strength of the soldiers that they will become. This morning, we are truly honored to have our beloved Bishop McKenna. I ask you for your very, very strong prayers for this man, that God will bless him in every way and keep him filled with his strength and courage and understanding. We are truly grateful to Bishop McKenna. Now, I wish to say this. Bishop McKenna is a Dominican. And if you noticed, I'm sure you did, that he says Mass differently from the way we normally see it said. And in these days and times, when the slightest variation appears any place in the church, everyone is quick to say, "Oh my, that's different. That's an innovation. That's got to be wrong," you know. The Dominicans have always, from ancient times, had a very special rite for saying Mass. It's very ancient, it's very orthodox, it's very Catholic, it's very holy, and it is very correct. It's a Dominican rite. And so we are happy, very happy and honored to have this rite celebrated in our church this morning. This morning, the Epiphany chalk is available in the aisle. And please take some chalk home with you. And everybody here knows exactly how to use it. And therefore, I encourage you to take that. Candlemas Day is around the corner. If you have candles or wish to have candles to be blessed on that day, please have them here before the 2nd of February in a nice, neat box and identify that box with your name. And we will place those boxes up here, as you know we always do, and they will all be blessed on Candlemas Day. You'll also notice there's a second stand in the aisle this morning. And the second stand has these little gray cards. But please pay attention. Only the ones who are to be confirmed should pick up one of these cards. And you write your name, of course, on there, your full name, and be sure that you place on there the name of the saint that you wish to take on this morning. Print that name. Print it in nice, big, bold letters that can be easily read, so that we will not make any mistake in applying the name. The bishop will not make any mistake in applying the name to you. So each one pick up a card and have this information on there. And as we said before, all the gentlemen will be on this side of the aisle, and all the ladies will be on this side of the aisle. And I suggest that we let all the younger ones go first, and the older ones of us to go last. Now, rumor got out that the bishop was going to give you a very strict quiz this morning. And I did nothing to suppress it. And I think that it's a good idea that you were approached with fear and trepidation that the bishop would do just this. And so you studied. And there's nothing wrong with that. But the bishop is not going to ask any questions. So, when you present yourself, have no fear. Now, in the back of the church, in the vestibule, there's a table this morning. And on that table are some little gifts that were prepared for you by our sponsors, Mr. and Mrs. John Doombacher. And each one, I think, is identified properly by name. So on your way out, look for your little gift and pick it up. I want you to pray for your sponsors, John and Rita Doombacher. They're doing us a great favor. And they, in turn, are doing us a great service in that they are going to pray for those that they sponsor this morning for the rest of their lives. It is no small thing for them to take on this responsibility. So we're grateful to Mr. and Mrs. Doombacher. May God bless you for your generosity and courage and kindness. My beloved people, I certainly am not going to talk this morning, but just a minute or two. Take my word for it. But I do want you to come to the understanding more clearly always that our lives as Christians, as Catholics, are very special lives, and that in the exercise of our holy religion, if we do not have peace as a result of the exercise of that practice of religion, my dear people, there's something wrong. And therefore, we need to investigate the reason why peace is not forthcoming. In these days, we need to look at this more particularly, and the reason why we have peace or don't have peace is our look toward, our attitude toward truth. When we speak of truth, we're not exactly saying that we are free from telling falsehoods. That has nothing to do with this. But when we speak of truth, we're speaking of God. And that we are after truth, which is God. In our days, we're tampering with truth. And therefore, there is confusion everywhere. Let us make certain that we deal and we understand and that we live by truth if we want to have peace. It's very quick to analyze this, that if we fail to have that peace in our hearts, and that there's some grumbling and rumbling and some fighting and some animosity and some this and some that and some other thing, my beloved people, that's because truth is being tampered with. Truth is holy. Truth is good. Truth is satisfying. Truth is consoling. Truth is God. So therefore, be not afraid. Be of good heart, and you have the blessing of Almighty God, always and always. And you're certainly in our prayers as we ask you to keep us in yours. I failed to give acknowledgement to a lovely, wonderful, I shouldn't be saying these things because he might think I'm flattering him. Our other visitor this morning, Father Peter LeMay. I've known him for a long time. And he is another very good priest. Pray for priests, my beloved people. Pray for priests and for sisters. Pray for them. Because the devil does not like good priests and good sisters. No, he doesn't. And if we're not careful, the light of faith that we have, the flickering light that is maintained by these good priests and good sisters, wherever they may be, might go out. And if it does indeed go out, then what? My beloved people,